I was debating whether to come up this time, but I saw them put their mics up, so I think I got it. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this beautiful day. And Father, I thank you for the opportunity to preach your word. Lord God, I just ask a blessing upon each person that will hear this. And Lord, just give them what they need. I ask that you remove me from it and just let your word and spirit speak for themselves. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. Now, as a pastor, I normally don't believe in reruns, but I preached a sermon this past Tuesday at the associational conference that I feel needs to go to the church in a broader sense, not just the association, but we ourselves as Calvary Baptist Church. And you know, when giving this honor of preaching, they wanted me to preach on being a missional church. Now, a missional church is one that reaches outside its walls, such as the Operation Christmas Child, such as the other things that we do in the community. And it's very important. You see, the tried and the true Great Commission is something that we need to remember. It stood above all the other texts that I looked at. I looked at several texts for preaching this. One, Jesus sending out the disciples two by two was one. Another one was the Great Acts sermon of Peter. And then, of course, Paul's various missions and ministries to go out into the world. But I sense the need to repeat the most imperative command of our Lord and Savior, and that is found in Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. So if you'll turn there with me, Matthew 28, 16 through 20. If any of y'all heard this sermon before on this past Tuesday, I'm going to add some stuff. So it's not a complete rerun, but it's very important that we hear this. So Matthew 28, 16 through 20, out of the King James it says, verse 16, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Now, these were the last words of Jesus recorded in the book of Matthew. Something similar was recorded in Luke, and then a little bit, not exactly the same, but a little bit on his ascension in the book of Acts. But think about this. The 11 disciples, of course, we know that Judas wasn't there anymore. They were told by Jesus to go to a certain mountain that Jesus had told them to go to. Now, it says appointed them. It might have been a mountain they're familiar with. It might have been Galilee. It might have been the Mount of Transfiguration. We don't know. It just says a certain mountain. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. Now, they had seen him after his resurrection several times before. We know that he suddenly appeared in the upper room. We know about the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. We know the story of Thomas when he said, you know, put your finger here in my hand and your hand into my side, and Thomas fell down and worshipped him. But they worshipped him again in this mountain. But it says some doubted. Now, who was that? Who were the doubters? And should we consider ourselves sometimes doubters, even though we are in the presence of Christ? Well, we'll get to that a little more in a little bit. But it said Jesus came to them and he told them some very important commands. He said, go and teach, baptize and teach, and I am with you always. Of course, I shortened it up a little bit there, but they were all imperative commands. These were not suggestions. These were orders. These were mission statements that Jesus had given these people to go and do what they said. And we are under the same authority. We are under the same commands as disciples, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are to go. The mission was given. We're to go into all the world to teach all nations. Now, of course, nations here, we're not talking about geopolitical parties. We're talking about people groups. We're talking about different individuals. So we're to go and preach to the white people, to the black people, to the red people, to the yellow people, to the purple polka-dotted people, if there were any out there. We are to preach to them and teach them all nations, and we are to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Now that is baptism among professing believers. We're not to baptize people that don't believe. That's why we as Baptists don't baptize infants. Now, we'll dedicate them, and we'll say prayers over them. We'll give them to God. Yes, that's all appropriate. But you don't baptize unless someone professes faith. And you've got to be able to profess that faith. You've got to realize that you're a sinner. And part of being missional is going out and teaching them these necessities. We used to call it the ABC principle. And in my day, that was accept that we are a sinner, believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and confess Him as Lord and Savior. ABC. Now ABC unfortunately means anything but Christian. Because that's the way the world, and even some in the church, want to teach. They want to be worldly. They want to be, quote, relevant, but in their relevance, they're giving up the truth of the gospel to be accepted by the world. I got news for you. The world is not going to accept things of God, ever. And why? Because our hearts are in states of rebellion. We want to do our own thing. We want to be our own way. And if somebody crosses us, we want to crush them. We want to tear them apart, because to us, that's justice. That's the farthest thing from the truth, brothers and sisters. We must go to different nations. What are we to teach? We must teach them all that Christ has commanded. What is that? Faith, love, forgiveness, mercy, hope, and the fact that He, Jesus Christ, is the only way to God the Father. That's it. There are no other ways. You can be a very good moral person and still bust the gates of hell wide open. Because you depended on your goodness, your righteousness to get into heaven. But God says, no, 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 no. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. What is it to do the will of God? To believe on Him who is sent. Who is He sent? Jesus of Nazareth. The Christ. And we must teach people that. And when they believe, we are to baptize them. Those, as we said earlier, who profess the faith of and in Jesus Christ. Did Jesus have faith in the Father? Of course He did. The Bible sees Him talking to the Father repeatedly, often, in the quiet stillness when He went off in the morning in the garden before His crucifixion, even publicly on the mountainside when He was feeding the 5,000 with His disciples when they asked to teach Him to pray. We see Jesus having faith in the Father, although He and the Father were one. Now, we cannot be one with the Father, but we can be in Christ, as Christ is in us. And it's important we remember that, brothers and sisters. You know, I found when I was trying to decipher this sermon and to show that there were two different ways to act, I found a verse, or a couple of verses in Matthew 21. And it talks about two sons, and I feel that we as churches and we as Christians fall into two camps. It's very important that we understand this. Now, this idea, as I said, is best expressed in Matthew 21, verses 28 through 32. Matthew 21, verses, verses 28. There comes Mr. Haney. Y'all get ready for it. Y'all excuse me one second. Matthew 21, verses 28 through 32. Let's read that text. Verse 28. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward, he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, Sir, I go, and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They said unto him, the first. Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. That doesn't make sense to some people because they answered the right way. That was the right answer, but Jesus slammed them. Well, there's a reason He slammed them. Verse 32, For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not, but the publicans and harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward that ye might believe him. So what Jesus is telling us is you were like the second son. You said, yes, Lord, I'll obey you, but then you didn't. You know what that makes us? It makes us charlatans and hypocrites. But the first son, although he said, no, I won't, he repented, he understood, and he went and did the work the Father had for him to do. You see, one group of churches, one group of Christians talk the game, give the money, embrace the ideology, and appear to do the work of mission. But there is an emptiness in their practice. Why? Because they do it just to say that they did it. They do it just to check off the box. Yes, we did this. See how good we are? See what we did? But yet their heart is far from God. You can say many things. You can talk the game. You can give the money. You can go. You can do anything. But if your heart is not right with God, it's not going to do you a bit of good. Because God sees the heart. God sees whether you're doing it out of legalism. And God sees whether you're doing it out of vengeance. And God sees whether you're doing it out of pride. And if you do it out of those things, you're not doing it for God. You're doing it for yourself. So therefore you fall into that second camp, that second son. Yes, Lord, I'll do it, but then you don't. God calls you to go on a mission, and it could be anything. I'm not talking about jumping on a jet plane and flying to the Congo. I'm talking about anything God calls on you to do as a mission. Yes, Lord, I'll do it, but I got out there, you know, I want to go on vacation. I want to go deer hunting. I want to go to the ball game. I want to go fishing. I want to do this. I want to do that. So I'm just going to put it off. You're the second son. Brothers and sisters, it pains me to say that I have been in that camp so many times. I'm willing to pay someone else to do it. You know, it's not bad in itself if you don't have any resources except money to pay somebody. That's not what I'm talking about. That's good to give to the mission of the Lord. But am I unwilling to get dirt under my fingernails and do the hard task of actual mission? When I am like that second son. I don't want to be that second son. I want to be, if I had a choice between these two, I want to be the one who says, yes, Lord, I'll go and go. But if I had a choice between these two, I can understand doubt and fear and anxiety and, Lord, I just can't do it. But then I find the strength that God gives me and I do it. That's the camp I want to be in, between these two. Now that's the second son camp. Let's go back to the first son. The other group of churches are like that first son. They see the hardships and they're anxious. They see the lack of resources and they doubt. They say no due to these perceived problems. But yet when they put their faith and their trust in their Lord, there always seems to be a way to find it accomplished. There always seems to be a way that God finds to do what He has ordained through those type of people. They look to Jesus and not the First Federal Bank of whoever. Somehow, some way, through God's grace and God's power, the mission is done. They reach outside their walls and they take the gospel, maybe in their own small way, but yet they still take the gospel to where God wants it to be, in the hearts and minds of people that need to hear it. They, this first group, they are willing to do that hard work. They're willing to get out of their comfort zone. They will see the work the Lord is doing in them, through them, in their midst. And it's a powerful thing. Now, let's go back to Jesus. As Jesus put it, which did the will of the Father? We may ask, which group of churches, which individual Christians actually do the will of the Father in this mission-rich field around us? Brothers and sisters, you've seen the videos the last couple Sundays. You can stand here and look across at the town. It's a mission-rich field. You know, sometimes on Sunday mornings, right after I drop the family off, I go down and buy gas because it's about 20 cents cheaper here than it is in town. And I'll go down there and I'll walk in, you know, I've got my preacher suit on and everything, and I see people sitting there drinking coffee and talking about this and talking about that and seeing people going out having a good time. Those are precious souls to God. Now, I don't know their individual cases. I don't know their individual names. I don't know whether they're mad at the church because someone did something to them 30 years ago, or whether they were never brought up in church, or whether they don't believe any of that foolishness or any of that stuff. But you can tell on their faces they're far from God. Who needs to hear the gospel? Those that are far from God. Who needs to be the object of our mission and our work? Those who are far from God. Why? Because they are the ones that need to hear it. I've heard that 1,000 times. It don't mean nothing to me. Okay, so be it. It's on your own head. I've done my job. But it's not a check off on the box. It's because I love the Lord and I love the people. I want them to know the truth. Even if I sometimes slip and don't do what I'm supposed to do, I still have enough understanding to know that those people need to hear the Word. And when they hear the Word, it sticks. Brother Steve and I and Brother Chet was there for a little bit. Wednesday morning we had our veterans breakfast we have once a month down there at Down Home. And I'm sitting there and this lady comes up to me. Brother Steve, back me up on this, all right? This lady comes up to me and says, "Ain't you the preacher up on the hill?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." And she said, "Well, I didn't recognize you. You got a ball cap on and a shirt. I didn't recognize you out your tie and your suit and everything." And I said, "Well, ma'am, I do have other clothes, you know." And she said, "Well, I went to the revival and I heard y'all preaching. I want you to know you're, and she said something to Steve. I'm not going to toot my own horn up here, but I'm just saying it stuck with her. I pray that it stuck with everybody. Not me, but the word that was said. That is what people need. If I die tomorrow, it wouldn't make a difference. The Word would go on. God's kingdom would go on. The mission would go on. When soldiers or sailors or airmen, marines or Coast Guardmen or whoever, since we were talking about Veterans Day, when they are given a mission, yes, sometimes they die, but the mission goes on until the war is won. Brothers and sisters, we're already won the war. We're just in a mop-up operation. And we need to go out and we need to tell the truth. For those who don't know it. Now, if they hear it, know it, and refuse it, that's between them and God. But our job is to be missional. Our job is to tell the truth in all stances and circumstances. We need to be like the second group. Which group did the will of the Father? Here goes Mr. Haney again. If I keep doing this, I'm going to break out into a Conway Twitty. That's the only thing that's going to stop this. Y'all pray for me, brothers and sisters. Now going back to what Jesus said, who did the will of the Father? For the first group, while money is important for the task to be done, are we willing to do the work? Are we willing to get the dirt under our fingernails? Are we willing to go out into the streets and tell people? Doesn't mean we stand on the corner and chuck hymnals at people, although some people do need hymnals chucked at them. Are we to go out and just take the opportunity God gives us? Yes, we are. We are. We're to be like the second son. You know, this first group, sometimes they'll see the smaller churches who get their hands dirty to do the mission, which Jesus has called them to do, just as in Jesus' day the publicans and the harlots saw John and heard and listened and believed. We do have churches, local churches here, that are getting their hands filthy in the work, the gardening, the planting, the harvesting. You know, I've got friends, I don't know if y'all know them, but Brother Chad Nixon, who runs Lake of Lafayette down here. They have been working their tails off for that group of individuals down there. Now, some of those individuals are pretty rough folks. But are they no less deserving of the gospel of Jesus Christ? We need to see and we need to participate wherever God gives us the opportunity. And we must react in faith to accomplish the goals that the Master would give us. Because that's what we do. Now, I'm happy to say that with our church, I see far more actual workers in the field than just the average church. There's always room for more workers in the harvest. Now, how can we, as members of Calvary Baptist Church, participate in the harvest? Remember, Jesus said, pray to the Lord for workers, for the harvest is great. Well, the first thing we can do is we must pray for, look for, and seize the opportunities God presents for us as an individual church and for groups within the church, Sunday school classes, men's groups, women's groups, youth, whatever it may be. We need to pray for, look for, and seize the opportunities. If you don't see an opportunity, pray for it. Ask God to show you, and He will. He will. The second is we must ask for and receive the resources, both financial and personal, which God will grant us to accomplish the task He's given you. I'm sorry to say, like some of our, and I use this term loosely, fellow pastors on TV that say if you walk backwards around a Rolls Royce 14 times, chanting the prayer, wiping the sweat rag that they've sent you for your $1,000 donation, that you're going to have that car. It don't work that way. If you're a Christian and you're praying, God, I have an enemy, let a great big rock fall on his head, God's not going to answer that prayer. But He will answer the prayer. Well, He'll answer it, He'll just say no. Let me put it that way. But if you say, Lord, give me an opportunity to reach a certain people, a certain family, a certain individual, He will give you that opportunity. And you accept the resources He gives you to do that mission, whether it's financial or personal. Brother so-and-so, I'll go with you. Sister so-and-so, I will pray with you. Take those opportunities when you perceive them. And then third, we must boldly go into the field. It's just not enough to talk the game. That's like the first son. Yeah, Lord, I'll do it. I'll pray. I'll give. But I ain't going out there. No. I'm not gifted in that way. You know, everybody tells me they're not gifted enough to speak to people. She'll have no problem telling the preacher what to do with it. It's all fine and good as long as you're saying what you want. But you get called out to speak to somebody. Oh, I don't have the talent. I don't have the spiritual gift. You've got the spiritual gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will give you what you need to say in that moment, in that circumstances. You don't even have to plan it if you trust Him. It may not be nothing more than you simply telling your story. Now, it's good to know Bible verses and stuff, but you know that you can point someone to Christ without that? But once they're pointed to Christ, they're going to need that to understand what God wants to do in their lives. So we must literally, boldly go out of that field, and we must start the work. If God is the author, which means the creator, the writer, the beginner, and the finisher of our faith, doesn't that imply that the things that we do within our faith are also started and finished by God? If God calls you to a mission, He's going to start it. Now, you may not be the one to finish it, but God will get it finished. God will give whoever the resources, but you got to be the whoever that is willing to do what God has called you to do. And then lastly, we must thank the Lord that He's given us this task to build the kingdom. Imagine if the Holy Spirit was not among us like in the Old Testament days. Now the Holy Spirit was there, but He wasn't there like He's there with us now. He's here with us now. And yet we were still tasked to go into all the world. We would be doing it on our part, in our wisdom, in our understanding. And folks, how many has that got you ahead in life? I ain't raising my arm. We have to trust in the Holy Spirit. We have to trust in what God has given us, whatever that may be. So brothers and sisters, if we are to be missional, if we are to be outside these walls, let us be like that first son, who even though he was a little bit anxious and afraid, and let's admit it, probably even a little bit lazy, because that's a lot of our problems. We're just a little bit lazy. We like our comfort just a little bit too much. But yet he discovered what he had done wrong, and he went and did the work. If we are to really trust God for this work, Let us give Him our time, our talent, our resources to the mission that He has called us. And He has called us to different missions. Each one of us in here has a different mission. However, sometimes He pulls people together. It's like the shoebox ministry. He has pulled people together, national, local, church. I just heard chimes. Did anybody else hear that? You know, I heard somebody said that if you're preaching and you hear bells, you better get ready. I know I shouldn't say this. I'm going to go on a rabbit trail here for a second because that reminded me. One time, I had a friend of mine who was in the fire service with me, and he was a deacon at a Pentecostal church. And one Sunday they were preaching on the rapture, and he hit somebody up in the back part of the church with a trumpet. And he said, right in the middle of service, when they blew that trumpet, he said, "You ain't never seen somebody jump and try to duck out the windows and screaming and wall around in the floor and everything else." And he was trying to explain to him, you never know. So when I heard those chimes, I was like, okay, but let's move on. I'm still breathing, so apparently it wasn't for me. If we are really to trust God in this work, we are to do the will of God. Now, what is the will of God? The Bible's clear. What is to do the will of God? To believe on Him who He has sent. If we believe on the One whom He has sent, then we will go into all the world, just as He commanded us, to teach all people to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to obey all that He has commanded. We will see the Holy Spirit move in great ways. Faith will come to many in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Then we teach them to obey all that Christ has commanded. We will not only help them in their spiritual needs, which is eternal, but we will help them in their physical needs, which is temporal. And just like we saw those smiling faces on the videos of these children that received what we would think would be nothing, but to them it's everything because they've never had that before. Oh yeah, they might have got a shoebox before at a different time, in a different place. But what's the most important thing within that shoebox? Not the rubber ball, although that can bring them some enjoyment. Not the sunglasses or the toothbrush or the soap. All that's important and good to have. What's the most important thing in there? It's the gospel. Because then we are reaching out into all the world. We will help them not only meet their spiritual needs, but their physical needs as well. And all this shows the love of Jesus for and to people. We are saved by grace through faith, right? And then, when we live out that faith, we become what God has commanded to us. We become Great Commission churches. We become missional churches. We become what a church is, to love and worship the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and to tell other people the good news that God loves them too. And when we do that, we are what Christ wants us to be. When all the garbage I've done in my life, I just want to be what Christ wants me to be. Praise team. Brothers and sisters, I can't tell you enough. The only way that you're going to be able to do this, though, is to know Jesus Christ. Do you know Him? Do you love Him? Are you willing to give up your life for Him? Now, I'm not talking about in a martyr sense. I'm talking about in an everyday sense. Are you willing to give up your pride? Are you willing to give up your, I'm better than everybody else? Are you willing to give up, I've never done anything wrong? Are you willing to give that up? Because you have to. You have to put Jesus first and foremost in everything. And if you don't know Him, what's the other option? What is out there that is more important than your eternity? That is more important of loving the One who loved you enough to die for you? What is there? We talked other things earlier. We talked about fishing and sports and all that stuff. Is that stuff going to be with you when you're in the box or in the urn? What's that stuff going to be? Where it's always been. Temporary. Going away. Yes, you can enjoy life. No one's saying you can't enjoy life. You can enjoy the good things that God has given you. Because I don't get to do it as much as I own Brother Chet, one of these days we're going. But fishing. I enjoy that. But you know, there's other work to be done. There's the work that God has called me to do. And whether I do it to the best of my ability on my own, which will always end up in failure, or whether I trust God and do under His leading, which always leads to success. We need to do it. So if you don't know Him, if you have one iota of a doubt, then pray. Get with someone you love and you trust and pray. Make sure you are assured. The Bible tells us to work out our salvation. Now that doesn't mean earning it. That means being sure in our heart that we love the Lord who loved us first. In fact, He loved us so much that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How can we turn our backs on such a Savior? How can we turn our backs on each other when all of us are in the same boat? There was an old radio show. Well, let me put it this way. Back home, my grandmother always listened to WRKN. It was a Southern Gospel radio station out of Brandon, Mississippi. And they would have gospel quartet. Now, I know that's not everybody's cup of tea. That's music I was raised up on, and I love it. I love all kind of praise music. But they had this one radio show one night, and it was a train. They called it the Gospel Train, and it was like a full-blown radio show like they used to have in the 20s and 30s. And they would talk about this one guy, and he was on this train, and it was taking off, and it was going up, and it was going past the planets, and it was going out into space. And there was the gospel angel choirs singing, and they were welcoming him into heaven. And then he woke up. And God made him realize he didn't have any tickets for that train. Unless we are made right with God, we're on our own, and you know what being on your own will do. We must be assured in our faith. Doesn't mean you have to be perfect. Doesn't mean you try your best, you do your best. You always do your best for God. But brothers and sisters, all of us know we're going to make mistakes. But God forgives, and He strengthens us with His Spirit. So if you don't know Christ, I ask you to get to know Him. You can come pray with me. You can find someone that you trust and you can pray with them. Or if you know Him but you've turned your back on Him, turn around and go back from where you started from. God doesn't move. You're the one who moved. You're the one that walked away. And He gives you, as long as you're breathing, He gives you the chance to turn around and walk back toward Him. He will chase you down. I want you to know that. He will come after you with every hound of heaven, they used to call it. Brothers and sisters, don't let it come to that. As the old hymn once said, there's nothing that I can bring, simply to the cross I cling. Go to the cross, and God will make it right because of what Jesus did.